Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another new Zoom Focus program on January 23rd, 2013. A very short article written in the ChristianPost.com/Mark Driscoll on Inauguration Day, Obama Knows Neither God Nor Bible. Written by Zaimov. She's a Christian Post, or he is a Christian Post reporter. As Americans tuned in to watch President Barack Obama be sworn into office for his second term on January 21st, a number of Christian leaders took to their Twitter accounts to offer a reaction. Arguably, the most impassioned remark came from Mark Driscoll, Pastor Mark Driscoll, founding pastor of Mars Hill Church in Seattle. All right, so those of you that might not be familiar with Mark Driscoll, he is a young man who has started an incredible work for the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ in what is arguably the most difficult area to reach people with the truth, that is Northwest United States, the Northwest United States. Driscoll has a number of churches, campus churches. He has a tremendously large ministry extending even down into, I believe the state is Arizona, with campus pastors. Driscoll would be exceptionally conservative on the issues of the person and work of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the inerrancy of the Word of God, and would be exceptionally loosey-goosey on secondary issues of separation. So this is a guy who's going to preach in jeans and t-shirt. And yet he is a student of the Word of God and is a preacher respected by thousands upon thousands of people. And this is what he tweeted: praying for our president, who today will place his hands on a Bible he does not believe, to take an oath to a God he likely does not know. Driscoll tweeted. Let me read that to you again one more time. Praying for our president, who today will place his hands on a Bible he does not believe, to take an oath to a God he likely does not know, Driscoll tweeted. The Mars Hill pastor's tweet was retweeted more than 2,100 people. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with Twitter, Twitter is an application that can be run on a computer or an iPad or an iPhone or any kind of a smartphone or any kind of a device like that. It allows you to send out 140 characters, so short bits of a message. Those that follow your Twitter account can see what you have tweeted about, these little 140-character short blocks of information. They in turn then can retweet those to those people who follow them. So in theory, it's like one telling two and two telling four and so on and so forth, going down like that. That's the general idea. And so 2,100 people thought that what he said was accurate enough to worthy being retweeted. The president has publicly professed his faith in God many times, but also has been accused by conservatives of attacking religious freedom, most notably with the Affordable Care Act that mandates religious employers to offer insurance that covers birth control, including the abortion fasciate, and that's that pill, that the morning after pill, I believe, is one way of communicating what it does to their employers. In his tweet shared Sunday, Christian minister John Piper argued that Obama's support of abortion stands against the ideals that civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. stood for, whose day of remembrance falls on Inauguration Day this year. President Obama's spiritually blind or evil hypocrite in claiming MLK and disregarding the weakest, Piper tweeted, who is the former senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Russell Moore, dean of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, shared he would be praying for President Obama. Congratulations, President Barack Obama. Prayers for blessings, wisdom, direction, and health, Moore tweeted. And then, of course, you're familiar with Louis Giglio of Passion City Church in Atlanta, Georgia, who had to resign from delivering the official benediction because a sermon about the gay issue came out that he had preached many years ago. So what are we to do with this? Let's pause for just a minute and ask ourselves, what are we to do with Driscoll's tweet that, from all practical purposes, seems to be exceptionally judgmental in so much as he's saying that the president will place his hands on a Bible he does not believe to take an oath to a God he likely does not know. Now, at this point, it's fair to say that Driscoll would say that we are praying for an unsaved man. Well, I know that even saying that brings reaction. Who are you to suggest that this president is unsaved? You don't know his heart. That would be the response that would be suggested by many. You don't know whether he's a follower of God or not. You can't know what's in his heart. Wouldn't the accusation of being judgmental be levied against him? Judge not lest you be judged. Wouldn't the accusation of you don't know if he's a Christian or not, no one can know for sure, isn't that what would be levied against him? Wasn't that the accusation that would be presented to Mark and expecting him to justify what he believes? Well, Mark's not here. We can't ask him that, but we certainly can look at what's going on in our nation. We can do that. We can objectively look at what's going on. So why don't we set aside the health care issue? Why don't we set aside the religious liberty health care issue? And why don't we talk about number one? Let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about the innocent babies, even before they're delivered into this world. Is it fair to say that our president has done anything to minimize the number of abortions being occurring every day? Can we look at anything that the president has done in 4 years and suggest that the president has a problem with abortion and is working actively to change the nation's view of abortion and is working diligently to reduce the number of abortions that have occurred? So, can we ask this question? How can a person be born again, Bible-believing, Christ-exalting, gospel-centered follower of Jesus Christ and not have a problem with abortion? How could we reconcile those two ideas? Is it even possible that a person could be that way? I don't know. I just can't imagine where the justification would be in allowing and encouraging that. All right, so that's number one. Why don't we change it to number two? What do we see from the president about the desire, the insistence that work is God-glorifying and that everyone should work, that work is important, that people are expected to work? The biblical idea that you were created by God to work, that Adam and Eve had to work in the Garden of Eden even before the fall, and that work is not a punishment but is an expectation of all that follow God, and that they are to glorify God in the way that they do work. What do we think about that issue? Can we say that the president is working diligently to insist that all Americans work, and that you get to eat if you don't work outside of the extreme minority who are physically handicapped or mentally handicapped and therefore cannot work? But could we say that the president is taking up the mantle of insisting that people follow the biblical expectation that people work? All right, what about number three? If the president believes in the Bible that he laid his hands on, what are we going to do with the fact that he is the first president to legitimize homosexual behavior by, in particular, mentioning those people who engage in that behavior, that sexual behavior, by calling or legitimizing or, in particular, referencing gay people? What are we to do with that? How are we to reconcile that? Well, we're running out of time, so let's not beat that issue to death. We've talked about it enough. How about number four? Can we talk about the national deficit and debt? Has the president read what the Bible has to say about debt and deficits and over out of control spending? Does the president read a proverb a day to receive instruction from that? Did we even mention the deficit? No. Did we address it in particular? No. In fact, what we find is that global warming was more important. Global warming is more of a threat to the future of America, according to the president, than the $16 trillion debt. Now imagine that. Imagine saying that global warming is more of a threat than the $16 trillion debt. You say he didn't say those words exactly. You're right, he didn't. That is true. But certainly it was implied. It was clearly implied that what we were going to work on was this, and what wasn't mentioned was this. Now you say, but by what rights do you have to be so judgmental? I mean, I can't believe that we're going to actually think that we can assess whether the president is a Christian or not. Well, by what authority do we have to do this? Well, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 7:16 will be an exceptionally good verse for you, where it says that we can recognize false prophets by their fruits. By their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You will recognize them by their fruits. Okay? You will know them by their fruits is the way the King James renders it. You shall know them by their fruits. So based on what we see presently about the president's position on abortion, work, the gay issue, and the national debt, it's fair to say that at a bare minimum, he is either completely ignorant of the Word of God or reinterprets it according to his convenience. Thus, it is not inerrant, it is not infallible, and certainly does not have instruction as to the way he should govern the nation. So I think that Mark Driscoll's tweet is fair. I think it's appropriate. And that what we should be praying for the president more than anything else is for his conversion. His conversion. We want him to convert to Christianity. So thanks for listening. Send me an email, pastor@bbc@gmail.com. If you disagree, post a comment to Sermon Audio if you think that you can enhance what was presented. Have a great day.